Luke chapter 1. We studied up through verse 25 last time when we started this study of the Gospel of Luke. Many, many great things in this Gospel. Today, what we're going to study is verse 26 through 56, Lord willing. And what you're going to see here are two episodes in Mary's life. Mary, with the angel Gabriel, when he comes to prophesy the birth of Jesus, and then Mary with Elizabeth, when after she conceives, she goes to see Elizabeth, who's now 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist. Okay, now in verse 26, before appearing to Mary, Gabriel had already appeared to Zechariah, who is John the Baptist's father. And so, as I said, in verse 26, you're going to see that Elizabeth, Zacharias' wife, John's mother, is already pregnant, 6 months pregnant with John. And now Gabriel is sent from verse 26 to verse 38 to Mary in Nazareth of Galilee to announce that she's going to be the mother of Jesus Christ. Verse 26, let's just read down to verse 38 and then we'll discuss some things. And in the sixth month, that would be the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Notice, first of all, in this passage of Scripture, Mary's virginity. In verse 27, Gabriel is sent to a virgin. You see that? And that's very important. She's not just a young lady. She is a young lady who has never known a man. And the reason that's so important, we're going to look at some scripture today, so I want to make sure you can keep your place here in Luke chapter 1. I want you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 7 and notice hundreds of years before this. Hundreds of years before this, 700 years before this conception, there was a prophecy given to Ahaz, and here's the prophecy in Isaiah 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, what's that next word? Virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. This is a supernatural, divine birth, but it's very important that you see she is a virgin. You know, interestingly enough, modern Bibles are professed to be easier to read, right? But they are very misleading. In many modern Bibles, this prophecy is not about a virgin, it's about a young lady. There's a major difference if the young lady has not known a man or has known a man, because this has to be supernatural. Okay? And that's very important that you're reading here to a virgin. Okay? They hadn't come together. It's interesting, you know, it says in verse 27 of Luke chapter 1 that this virgin is espoused to Joseph. Interestingly enough, that espousal, that engagement in the Bible is already considered, they're already considered husband and wife. And the reason I say that, in Matthew chapter 1, when the angel of the Lord appears to Joseph to announce the birth of Jesus, the Bible says Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together. And then 19 says, then Joseph, her husband, right, thought to put her away. And in verse 20, the angel says, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. It just shows you the significance of an engagement. An engagement is not like a going steady. Sometimes it's viewed that way here now, but it's a real commitment. And though they haven't joined flesh with flesh, it's already that serious. And that's how their relationship was when Mary received this news. All right, now, notice not only Mary's virginity, but Mary's lineage. Mary's lineage. Verse 27, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, watch it, of the house of David. Of the house of David. This is very important because the child is going to sit on David's throne. So the child has to be, you know, from the lineage of David in some way. It turns out that both Joseph and Mary, even though Joseph is literally not her father, Joseph and Mary are both from David's line. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 16, Joseph's father was a man named Jacob. It was a man named Jacob. And he descended from David in Matthew chapter 1 through Solomon. Matthew chapter 1, verse 6, Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon, that it, of her that had been the wife of Uriah, and so forth and so on, and so forth and so on, and Jacob begat Joseph. This is very important because on Joseph's side, Joseph is a descendant of the line of the kings, and Jesus Christ comes in as king of the Jews. So that's a very interesting observation there. He's in the line of the kings of Judah. In Luke chapter 3, the Bible is peculiar in this sense. Sometimes a son is a son-in-law. All right? And in Luke chapter 3, that's the case here. Luke chapter 3, in verse, you know, you read these genealogies and you're like, what's the purpose? Well, here's the purpose. In Luke 3:23, Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. Joseph wasn't the son of Heli, he was the son of Jacob. But he is the son-in-law of Heli. Heli is Mary's father, okay? So now what you're reading in Luke is the lineage of Mary. When Jesus Christ is born and then begins his ministry, he is known both as the Son of God and the Son of, you know, as the Son of God and the Son of Man, the Son of Man. All right, he gets his humanity from Mary. Right? So what you need to see is that there is a line of humanity that is in Mary, but it comes through David. In Luke 3:31, which was the son of Meliah, which was the son of Menon, which was the son of Mattatha, which was the son of Nathan, which was the son of David. So Mary comes through David, through Nathan from David, and Joseph from Solomon through David. So That's an interesting observation there. But notice in Mary, so it, when you look at Joseph's line, it takes you back to Abraham, Jews, and the kings of the Jews. That's that side. Here, look at this lineage. It takes you all the way back, verse 38, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Takes you all the way back to the first man. That's his humanity. And both of those come down through David. Do you see God's orchestration in all of this? It's really an amazing thing. So Mary's virginity, Mary's lineage. Notice thirdly, back in Luke chapter 1, that there is no such thing as Hail Mary. Some of the words of that are taken from the Bible, but there is no such thing as Hail Mary. The angel spoke what you read in verse 28. The angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that are highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. In the prayer called Hail Mary, it's Hail Mary, full of grace, and then what the angel said, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. Okay? But they add that Mary, full of grace thing to the prayer. Okay. Grace and truth came by whom? Jesus Christ, John chapter 1. All right. So the angel didn't say full of grace. Now jump down to verse 42. I know we didn't read it yet, but when Mary meets Elizabeth in verse 42, Elizabeth in verse 42 spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. In the prayer, Hail Mary, the Catholics have done this. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, comma, Jesus. So they add Jesus. And then they add, Holy Mary, listen, Mother of God. God doesn't have a mother. Right? Okay. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and in the hour of our death. Amen. Mary is never seen in the role of intercessor. So it's very, just what the reason to point this out is that it's very, very important to understand neither the angel Gabriel nor Elizabeth said, Mary, you are holy. Holy Mary, Mother of God? No, they didn't say that. And they never said anything about her being the mother of God or interceding for anybody. She said, why do you point this out? Because religious tradition often teaches us certain things that we assume come from the Bible. That did not come from the Bible. That came from men. And it's important for us to be aware of it, to acknowledge what the Bible does say, but not to add what it doesn't say. Okay? So Bible, the neat thing about the Bible, it will clear up any religious tradition, whether it's our tradition or the tradition of another church. You go with the book. Go with the book, not with the tradition. Okay? Now go back to verse 29 and notice how many details Gabriel gives. So we've seen her virginity. We've seen her lineage. We've seen that there really is no Hail Mary. And we notice now Gabriel's details about Jesus in verse 29. It's interesting, when she saw him, that is Gabriel, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. You know, she wasn't as troubled at his sight, a lot of people are troubled when they see an angel, as she was at what he said, at the salutation. That surprised her, that he would say, you're highly favored and the Lord is with thee. That's me, moi. You know, that's kind of that thing. Troubled at his saying. Well, he assured her that she had found favor with God. In verse 30, the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Now, in verses 31 to 33, the angel gave Mary very specific details about the conception, the birth, and the eventual rule of Jesus. Here's what he said. Verse 31, thou shalt conceive in thy womb. All right, already this is a very miraculous statement because you, ladies, don't conceive, if you can, all right, without that involvement of a man. And she's going to conceive in her womb, but she's going to conceive in her womb and still be a virgin. That's monumental. Not only that, but you're going to bring forth a son, so they didn't have to wait for the ultrasound. They didn't have the reveal party where all the blue balloons came out and all the blue candy came out of the piñata. And not only that, but he's named before his conception, you're going to call him Jesus. That's an amazing thing. God named that baby. In verse 32, he shall be great and shall be called the, you know, and by the way, it says he shall be great. John the Baptist was also said to be great in verse 15. He shall be great in the sight of the Lord, verse 15. So both of these are great men being born to these women. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. Notice that's a capital H. So we're talking about the Most High God. And then notice this. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Do you understand when this prophecy is announced by Gabriel? No descendant of David had sat on that throne since 606 BC when Nebuchadnezzar came in and took Judah captive. That throne has been unoccupied. Now, Jesus didn't sit on that throne during his earthly ministry because he didn't come, first of all, to reign. He came to die. But he is going to come to reign. Do you realize the prophecy that's given in verse 32 has, from the time it was given, approximately 2,000 years to its fulfillment? It's coming, but it just hasn't come yet. All right, and this promise, this throne, the throne of his father David, this is going to help you. When you're reading your Old Testament, you're going to come across passages of Scripture where you see things that refer to this throne. You'll see them in Psalm 2 and Psalm 89, Psalm 110, various places like that. And I'm going to read one to you when the Lord appears, or Nathan actually appears to David and lays out for him what God's going to do. He says this, he shall build an house for my name. I will establish the throne of his kingdom. Speaking of David's throne, throne of his kingdom. Listen, forever. Can you imagine being a Jew with nobody having sat on that throne in 2,600 years today plus, and that promise is in the Bible? And he's going to fulfill that promise. And he says here in verse 33, he shall reign over the house of Jacob, how long? Forever. So this is a Jewish rule over a Jewish, you know, throne in David's line. But notice this, of his kingdom there shall be no end. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. Oftentimes at Christmas, people are remembering the birth of Jesus Christ. Look at Isaiah chapter 9. Just keep your finger where you are. Isaiah chapter 9. Notice how, here's another one of those prophecies. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. You know something? I know that he's going to rule. I know it. And I know that he's going to rule forever. My problem is he's not ruling yet. And I'm ready. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even how long? forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Book it. Book it. Now that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 very specific things Gabriel says to Mary about that baby, about his conception, birth, and eventual rule. That's remarkable. All right, next notice in this passage, Mary's question. Mary's question. Because you remember, Zacharias asked a question when the angel of the Lord appeared to him. He asked a question like, I'm old, my wife is old, we're well stricken in years. That was a question of unbelief. Okay, but notice Mary's question in verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? That's like Nicodemus' question. It's not really a question of doubt, it's a question of methodology. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? I mean, that's all they knew. It's like, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? It's a reasonable question. And the angel gives her a reasonable answer. He explained how it's going to be done in verse 35. Number one, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. You know what? Right now, I presume all of us in here are saved. If we're not, you can be. But when you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit in you. Are you always aware of His? Not, you know, you are, but you are, particularly since I mentioned it, but there are times when you're about your business and, right? What I'm saying is the Holy Spirit can overshadow her, come upon her, and she not even, I mean, there's not a sensation that's involved with that necessarily. And the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. So there's not some physical involvement here is the point. It's a spiritual thing that takes place miraculously. And then, therefore also that holy thing. Now, if you want to know who's holy in the passage, it's the thing. You know, some people today get offended if they are referred to in the neuter. May I tell you something? It didn't offend Jesus that God said about him, he's a thing. That holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called, this is amazing, the Son of God. Because God, the Father, is literally his dad. Should be called the Son of God. Okay, so let's be very specific. This is how it's going to happen. It's going to happen like that. The Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you. You know, she didn't reel from that. She says, in just a minute, she says, well, that's cool. Be it unto me according to thy word. Okay, let's go. That's classic, because it's like, okay, I believe that. All right, now, in verse 36, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. This is 6 month with her who was called barren. That's comforting to Mary, because that's what happened with Zacharias and Elizabeth was miraculous. So what's going to happen to you is miraculous, because with God nothing shall be impossible. Isn't that a great verse of Scripture? And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. That's all there was to it. Okay. All right. Cool. See ya. Pretty remarkable. Notice what comes next. Mary's visit to Elizabeth. And that starts here in verse 39. Let's read that now. Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste. Meaning, she didn't tell Joseph. She just took off. Into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother, listen, of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and hath exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Now there's a lot going on between these two women when they're talking. There's not anything about, you got any coffee around here and how are the tea cakes? There's some heavy duty prophecy and some spirit-filled conversation, right? In that initial meeting of those two together. When Mary went to visit Elizabeth, it said with haste, she didn't tell Joseph about the prophecy, and you know that because the angel has to appear to Joseph when he finds out that Mary is pregnant and tell him, don't put her away. That's the work of the Spirit of God. She's carrying Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. She's carrying the King of the Jews. Don't put her away. Okay, so Joseph finds out from the angel. All right. In verse 41 to 45, Elizabeth made confirming proclamations to Mary. In other words, Mary had heard these things from the angel, but now the Holy Spirit, speaking through Elizabeth, is going to confirm. Interestingly enough, in verse 41, when Mary salutes Elizabeth, what leaped in her womb? The babe, okay? If you're having any question these days about the discussions concerning what's in the womb as the conversations about abortion and so forth continue, here's one more verse that lets you know that's a babe. You know, interesting enough, even in our own language, our common language, we'll say things like this. When a woman is pregnant, they'll say she is with. That's what's in there. Okay, so the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And now she speaks out with a loud voice and says, first of all, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. That's true. She is blessed among women because she's now carrying Jesus Christ. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb, no doubt, because that's Jesus Christ in there. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord, she didn't say, whence is this to me that the mother of God should come to me? Right? That's very, very important. The mother of my Lord should come to me. The mother of my Lord indicates that the person that's in there is the Son of God, and that's the right understanding of Jesus Christ, the Lord our Savior. But she didn't birth God, okay? For lo, and I say, we recognize that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. But that didn't have anything to do with Mary. Right? That had everything to do with the incarnation of the Spirit of God. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And then she said, blessed is she. Notice, that believed. You know, the angel got after Zacharias and made him dumb, right? When John the Baptist, because he said, thou believest not my words. But Elizabeth said, you believed. So there was a great difference in the motivation for them asking the questions that they did once again. It says here, "And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." That's a great confirmation. What God says is going to happen, that's going to happen. You book it. And that's true with God. So that's what Elizabeth says initially to Mary. Now notice, we've noticed that there's no "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee." Okay, that one. "Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us." Okay, we've seen that's not in the Bible. Notice also, there is no immaculate conception. How many of you know what immaculate conception means? Raise your hand. Very few of you. Immaculate conception means that Mary was born without sin and was sinless. Hear me again. The doctrine of the Catholic Church is that Mary was born without sin, immaculate conception, and was sinless. Okay? Watch from the lips of Mary and find that that's not true. Mary said, "My soul doth magnify myself." Is that what she said? No. "My soul doth magnify" whom? "The Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in," what are the next three words? "God, my Savior." She needed a Savior. She needed a Savior. Which tells us that she recognized that she's not sinless. She found favor with God. She was blessed. She's the womb for the Savior, but she's not sinless. "My soul doth magnify the Lord." He's sinless. But not the mother. "God, my Savior." That's very important. You get these little doctrines slipped in there and they get people confused. Nothing like reading the Bible to clear up the confusion. Amen? All right. And then, notice. Mary today and for generations has been referred to as the, with a capital B and a capital V, the Blessed Virgin. The Blessed Virgin. If those of you who weren't raised in the Catholic Church don't realize that, but we always did. And I still see people today, and they'll refer to, the Blessed Virgin, blah, 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 in reference to her intercessions and so forth. Please understand. Look at verse 48. She says, "He hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden." So she's very humble. "For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me with a small b, blessed." And she is blessed. And I'll call her that right now. But she's not blessed virgin. She's not the Blessed Virgin. Why? Mark chapter 6, verse 3. Mark chapter 6, verse 3. The reason that we don't call her the Blessed Virgin today is that after Jesus is born, Jesus is referred to when he's born as the firstborn son of Mary. She has more children. She and Joseph come together as husband and wife. Notice in Mark chapter 6, verse 3, the people are marveling about the miracles Jesus Christ is doing. Okay? In the middle of verse 2, they say, "From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands?" Verse 3, "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary," look at it, "the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended him. So there are at least six other children born to Mary and Joseph after Jesus is born. He's got four brothers by name and sisters. That would be more than one, so at least two sisters. She's not a virgin. Okay? Interestingly enough, the people who say she remained a virgin, and they do, they actually believe that, or teach that, as a doctrine in the church, they'll say, "Well, it doesn't really mean brother, that's cousin." I'm not going to detour. I don't think. Let me see how much more we have left to do. I'll show you this real quick. Look in John chapter 2. You should see this. Mark it. You might need it sometime. John chapter 2. Okay, John chapter 2. In verse 13, there's a Passover. This is at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, John 2, 13. There's a Passover at hand. In verse 14, Jesus found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and so forth. Verse 15, he makes a scourge of cords, runs them all out of there. In verse 16, he said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. So he does that at the beginning of his ministry. He does it at the end of his ministry before his crucifixion. But look at verse 17. His disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Okay? You see that? Verse 17, it's written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. So it's a reference to what Jesus Christ did there. Now, how many of you have a cross reference on the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up in your Bible? If you do, tell me what verse in the Old Testament it refers to. Anybody have it? Psalm 69:9. Let's go there. Cross references, by the way, are an excellent way to study your Bible. I would say to you, when you're doing a little study like this, follow the cross references and see what they say. So it takes you to Psalm 69. That's where that verse, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, that's where it's recorded in the Psalm of David. Verse 9 is the cross reference. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, right? Okay, that's what they remembered. Look at the context in verse 8. I am become a stranger unto my brethren and an alien unto whom? My mother's, those are not cousins. My mother's children, for the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. That's a reference to Jesus Christ. And those boys that are named there and those sisters that are referred to there are Mary's children, my mother's children. I don't know. You know, some people are like, okay, what's next? And I'm like, wow, that is so incredible. Because it absolutely means they're not cousins. Okay? And therefore, this idea of continuing to say the Blessed Virgin is just another tradition of men. You know what it does? It magnifies Mary, and Mary magnify the Lord. They are very different. Okay? Very different. Very important to pay attention to those things. Finally, for the remainder of our passage here in Luke chapter 1, oh my, she said, my soul doth magnify, Luke chapter 1, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Now she's going to do it. Beginning in verse 4, so she says here, they're all going to call me blessed. Well, we just did. She is blessed. Okay, but not the Blessed Virgin. Now, verse 49 to verse 53, watch how she magnifies the Lord. That's says, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Here it comes. Bang, 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 bang. Number one, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things. So he's mighty, and he did do great things. Never before and never since has it ever been known that a virgin conceived a child. Holy is his name. That's true. And if you cross-reference with Psalm 1, these notes, by the way, are posted online probably tomorrow morning. Psalm 111, verse 9, that's his name. Holy is his name. So it's not Holy Mary, Mother of God, once again, it's Holy Lord God. Holy Jesus. Okay? Holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him. That's Psalm 103, verse 17. From generation to generation. You know what? Is there anybody in here today that could raise your hand and say, I fear God? I fear God. You know what? His mercy is on you from generation to generation. Aren't you thankful for that? He hath showed strength with his arm. That's many places in the Old Testament, but Isaiah chapter 40, verse 10. Isaiah 52, verse 10. When Jesus returns, the Bible says he's going to make bare his holy arm. And when he does, he is going to go to work on this world and do some things like this world has never seen. The Creator is going to straighten out a mess. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. Psalm 33, verse 10. Right now the proud are in authority. Right now the proud are exalted. And they seem indomitable with their power. When Jesus comes, they're going to run like cockroaches to a light in the morning. Scatter them, man, in the imagination of their hearts. Verse 52, he hath put down the mighty from their seats. They're there now. Can you imagine? And I just draw attention to one episode. You've got a man right now, maniacal, in Russia, destroying Ukraine. And the whole world is like, well, we think this is a war crime, but it's a war crime. And the mighty is in his seat, and nobody can depose that. Jesus is going to show up, and you understand? The Antichrist is going to be here far worse than anything you've ever seen a man do. And he's going to put them down. Put them down. Put down the mighty. And not only that, exalted them of low degree. The Jews will be nearly annihilated as a nation. And when this is all done and Jesus comes, they're going to be the ruling nation of the world. He hath filled the hungry with good things. Aren't you glad? And the rich he hath sent away empty. That's 1 Samuel 2:5. That's what Hannah prayed after she found out that she had Samuel. He hath hope in his servant Israel. Boy, does he ever. It's the only hope Israel has. Nobody else, no nations, no allies will ever be able to do for them what God's fixing to do. In remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, that promise was given all the way back in Genesis chapter 12, and to his seed forevermore, it's still active today. And you can find it in Genesis 17, 19. These things that Mary said about the Lord are all, listen, prophecies that are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. That baby in there is the one that's going to do all this. And she was magnifying him. So she hung around Elizabeth's house 3 months. All right, that means now Elizabeth is 9 months pregnant. Guess what? She's fixing to have a baby. And Mary goes back to her house. What a fabulous passage of Scripture. Isn't it? Just such an eye-opener. Such a comfort. Father, thank you so much. What a remarkable book. And what tremendous truths we've discovered today. Help us now to continue to be faithful students and faithful stewards of your words for Jesus' sake. Amen.